that does grab your heart. All righty. Well, let's get ready for the message. We're going to continue our grace walk. And this morning I want to challenge us with a question. And that is Christ your life? I'm not asking, is he in your life? I'm asking, is he your life? There's bumper stickers and sayings. No doubt many of us have said it before ourselves, and that is, you know, I'm just a sinner. In other words, we're giving acknowledgement to the sin nature. But we're not just sinners. We're not. We're way more than that, and not even that. We are a new creation. We're a child of God. We're saved by grace so that we can be grace givers. Turn to Colossians, if you will, New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Probably about midway through chapter 3. Are you there? Yeah, hallelujah. I'm never going to forget that image and that soundbite from that African pastor we showed last week on the video. And the hallelujah, amen thing going back and forth for about 5 minutes. That's what we ought to be doing.
Hallelujah!
Amen!
All right, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which all amount to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Can I get a hallelujah?
Yeah.
8. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greeks and Jews, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. We're not just sinners who have been saved. We are a new creation. Our old man, our old self, has been crucified. And you might say, I don't really feel like it's been crucified. But feelings are not fundamental. Belief, faith, trust, those are. This concept of the old man being crucified, the old self being crucified, is foundational and fundamental to our life in Christ, to Christ being our life. Turn with me to Romans now. Turn back to the left a few books to Romans 6. Romans 6.
Amen.
And here we understand that Our old man has been crucified. We are no longer a slave. All of us, before we were born again, were slaves to sin. But we've been set free. We are no longer slaves. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. And when we are water baptized, this is what is happening. This is the spiritual event, activity, the action that is going on, that we're buried with him and we're raised again to newness in life. And therefore, we should recognize and believe that our old man has been crucified. We are no longer that person. 5. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So, we are not just forgiven sinners. We are a child of God. And we will reign with Jesus in this coming kingdom. The flesh expresses human nature as estranged from God. So for us to think, if we acknowledge that we're born again, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that the flesh is controlling us, that we have no power over the flesh, we have a misunderstanding. We are a new creation. We've been set free. We are no longer a slave to sin. So don't let Satan get your mind twisted thinking that. You might be familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says we are a new creation. And here's the point. You are a new creation. Some translations say you're a new creature. And some of you are creatures. We're not just a better old creation. We're a new creation. In other words, Jesus didn't come to make us better. He came to raise us from the dead. And that's what happens when we're born again. We're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. There's a, what would you say, a teaching, an illustration that is often misused, mistaught, about the two dogs. And when, somebody's counseling another believer who's kind of struggling with sin, maybe living a carnal life, and the older brother or sister is trying to counsel them, and they say, whichever dog you feed the most, that's the one that's going to get the biggest in your life. So if you're feeding the big, bad, evil dog, that's what's going to happen in your life. Wrong. That dog is dead. You get me? It's dead. We're a new creation. You don't have that old sin dog in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You are a new creation. Jesus, when he was being accused by the Pharisees of casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebul, Satan, he said, well, you're accusing me, and he didn't say this, but I mean, it's obvious, I'm God, and you're accusing me of casting a spirit out by the devil? Well, if that were true, the kingdom would fall. That kingdom of hell would fall. You can't have a kingdom divided and expect it to stand. So, you know, in us, if we had that old sin dog, that evil nature still in us, and we also have the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to be all torn apart. We're going to be crazy. We're going to be disruptive. It can't happen. The person, the human, would be destroyed. That temple would be destroyed. So no. We only have the Holy Spirit in us. We don't have two natures inside us fighting that battle, that spiritual battle of good and bad, evil and good in us. We have the Spirit of God. And greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Next one, please. So grace means that Christ is your life. Christ is your life. And you might say, explain, what does that mean? I don't quite get it. How is Christ my life? We just read a couple of scriptures that says it. We'll read more. But Jesus explained it this way. Back when Jesus was in Jerusalem, and he went in through the sheep gate. I had a kind of a fun time with Bethy this week. We were driving up to Papa, how can we call this the sheep barn? That was a fun little discussion. But he was at the sheep gate, this pool of Bethesda. And after healing that lame man who had been there for 38 years, on the Sabbath no less, the Jews were really angry at him. They were challenging him. They were testing him. They were coming against him. And this is what Jesus said. He basically said, before I can do anything, I first see what the Father in heaven is doing. And that is what I do. That is what I do. So therefore, if we resolve not to do something, unless we see Jesus doing it, then we will do things in like manner. Let me repeat that. If we resolve not to do something unless we first see the Father, see Jesus doing it. You know, it says, set your mind on the things above. What's above? What do they mean by that? Who's above? Jesus is above. He's at the right hand of the Father. Set our mind on Him and what He's doing. And do that here on earth. Jesus said that He could not do something of Himself. In other words, He did not have His own mind where He could just do His own thing. No, He's one with the Father. And He could only do what the Father was seen doing. So this then is how Christ becomes our life. To maybe simplify that is, Christ is our life when we're doing the things that we see Jesus doing. When we're doing the things that we see Jesus doing. Now, of course, this means we need to spend a little time learning what Jesus did, what He's doing. We need to spend time seeking and asking. Jesus, if Christ is our life, it means that He is our purpose for living and the reason for living. You know, a couple of weeks ago I asked you, what your purpose in life is. Why are you here? Why do you exist? What's your purpose in life? And certainly, Jesus would be that answer, part of that answer. Because when all is said and done, it doesn't matter what kingdom we've built, what empire we've built, what estate we've built, what we leave behind for our kids, that's all worthless. What matters is what we've laid up in heaven, what treasures we've laid up in heaven, who we've shared the gospel to that now put their faith in is going to heaven. That's what matters. Turn with me to Galatians. So go to the right a few more books back to Galatians 2.
Amen. What does a sheep gate look like?
It's just a regular gate. It's just that that was the gate they used to take the sheep in and out.
Oh.
So they had 12 gates in the walls, and each one had a different name and a different purpose.
I lived in Texas, and I've been through every kind of cattle gate that there is. Fixing cell phones.
All right, there, Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, it drives me crazy when pastors ask you to do this, but now I'm going to ask you to do this. Say that with me. I have been crucified with Christ. Because we have to, that has to be part of what we think and say. It has to be part of us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It doesn't say I live by feelings. I don't live by how I feel. I don't live by what makes me happy. I live by faith. Faith is going to power through the obstacles, the doubt, the things, the fear. You trust. You know that God is there and he's got you. And you're just going to go. Faith. So, grace walk. I have a few questions first as we finish up and apply this to our lives. Doing what we see Jesus doing. Doing what we see Jesus doing. So consider the things that you do daily. Consider your focus in life. What is it? If anybody wants to share, you know, what is it? You know, we all have things that we're really passionate about that really guide us and direct us, things that we pursue. But, you know, we just have to get our mind back to what Scripture is telling us here, and that is Christ is our life. If everything we do is born out of what we see Christ doing, not only, we're going to have a blessed life. We're going to have an awesome life. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have things come at you that you wish didn't. But it's going to be a satisfying life. Question two. Do you spend time thinking and planning how you can organize your life and your finances around your God-given purpose?
Yes.
Got a yes and amen back there somewhere? This is a fun question. It's not meant to make anyone feel bad or guilty. It's a fun question. If you haven't been doing this in the past, today, you know, start the wheel turning. Spend some time thinking and planning how you can organize your life and finances around your God-given purpose. So, first of all, that means you're going to have to understand what your God-given purpose is, isn't it? You're going to have to understand what he's assigned you to do. He's assigned all of us something. And we don't all have the same assignment. I mean, yeah, there's a general assignment. We're supposed to be witnesses and ambassadors, but within that, each of us have a special calling. What is it that we should be doing? So this is not just planning your finances so you have money for tithes and offerings at the beginning of the week for church. It's more than that. It's looking at the big picture.
Eating so you can stay healthy, so you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Exercise.
You know, I guess I hate to use myself or me and Adrian as examples because I don't want it to come across like, you know, look at us through our way. But sometimes it's the example I know best that I can communicate, and hopefully it will make the point clear, help you understand. But years ago, probably 5 years ago, Adrian and I, we're looking at some life planning. You know, where do we go from here? We've come to this point now. Where do we go? And so we spent time thinking and planning and praying, and that's when Adrienne felt called to go back to school, get her nursing degree, and become a nurse. With the purpose, not just to have income, but with a spiritual purpose where she can pray for people in great need, and Lord willing, someday, we didn't know this COVID thing was coming, but Lord willing, someday, we'll be going to other countries and using our combined gifts to minister to people, to plant churches out in the bush, like with that video we saw last week. So what is your, how do you plan your finances around what God's called you to do? I know another couple who sold a property and they bought a couple condos, and the income from the rent there is going to enable them to be in ministry full time. So that's how you're thinking and planning, how you can organize your finances and your time around what God's called you to do. I think few people do this, you know, worldwide. I think few people do this, plan their life around doing what God's called you to do, planning your finances and your time and all that around what he's called you to do. But this is exactly how ministries and charities are born. This is how a lot of the hospitals in our country were birthed. Those were spiritual endeavors that Christians decided, we're going to plant a hospital here to care for people. We're going to start a school so people can learn to read with the Bible, so they can know the Bible. That's how things were started. Missions programs are started by somebody saying, I have this burden, this ache, to go out and share the gospel, or to go out and suffer for Christ and meet people. Sometimes it inspires a full-time service or activity of an organization or something to express Christ or expose Christ to the world, to put you in proximity to people that need Jesus, that need to be ministered to. Yvonne was talking about her husband and the one that passed away that started this school because he ran across some kids, some teens in Denver that didn't have education and they were street kids. And he just said, okay, God, I'm doing this. He just sits down with a book and starts teaching them. You know, he just had a patent his whole life. And from there, crazy things went on and great ministries were born and many people have been benefited and saved. But none of that is done without first looking to heaven, looking to God. What is he doing? What is he doing? I'm going to do that with him here on earth. So what is your purpose in life? Have you discovered it? Have you taken time to just really think it through? Maybe even talk with another brother or sister and get some feedback and land on something so that you've got about a one or two sentence explanation of what your purpose in life is. And then it's easy to start organizing these things and doing these things so that you're not just doing things just to be doing them. You're not just doing things because, you know, that's what church people do. You're doing things because it's your purpose in life that God has given you. Do you see a need or an injustice or a problem that Jesus could fix or address? I'm sure you do. But then, do you search out a way to be part of that solution? Your song is exactly what that's about. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about what we all can do as individuals. It's how this Vacation Bible Camp that happens every year got birthed. And when the first year, you know, we had no idea what was going to happen and what was going to happen in succeeding years. And now this summer Agape program that we're trying to birth, it's because somebody sees a need, an injustice, and knows that Jesus can enter into that, correct it, fix it, and see lives changed. Where that's going to go and how that's going to impact people down the road, we don't know. But this church has been around long enough where we've seen kids come in little, you know, I was going to say like rugrats or, you know. But then they've grown up and now they're teenagers and stuff. And heaven help them when they go to college and say, you wouldn't believe the church I went to. Well, you should have seen that Sunday school. You know, Joel's going to come up in that discussion from those kids. And people are going to be going, whoa, you did that? But they're going to know the scriptures. They're going to know about Jesus. They're going to know Jesus. So the takeaway, what I hope that you will take away today from this message is that first, set your mind on the things above, not the things on the earth. And that's what I get out of Donna's comment earlier. You know, we're concentrating too much on the things here on the earth and not the things above. Set our mind on the things above. Look to see what the Father is doing and do that. One thing about this church body, and one thing that I think came through loud and clear at our annual meeting, is how many people have stepped up and have a ministry within the church that's doing something incredible. Recognize that Christ is your life, not just in. So try to purge that statement from your mouth when you're talking to the people, Christ is in my life. No, Christ is my life. I guess do it one more time with me. Christ is my life. You're going to have to forgive me after today on those two times, but I don't know, maybe it doesn't bother you as much as it does me. I'm such a rebellious, I'll be sitting next to Adrian, and we'll be at some other church, and say to your neighbor, such and such.
And it works.
Yeah, I still do it. I did roll my eyes.
There's comfort in ritual.
And then realize you don't have two natures fighting within you. The old one is dead. Amen? All right. Praise God. Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.